I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. On the program today, we'll be talking about making up a multicultural holiday menu that won't give you heartburn. We're talking with Top Chef Kevin Spraga, and then we'll talk about creative holiday drinks to wash it all down. We'll also focus on the record-breaking run of the Connecticut women's basketball team. That is later. But we begin today with a much more serious matter of the turmoil in the West African nation of the Ivory Coast, which finds itself standing on the brink of a return to civil war, according to the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. We'll hear from the head of the UN operation in Ivory Coast in just a few minutes. A tense political standoff there has intensified since a November 28th runoff election. There, incumbent President Laurent Gbagbo lost his bid for re-election, according to the country's election commission, but he has refused to step down. The World Bank has since frozen loans to the country. France is urging its citizens there to leave immediately. The African Union and most of the international community is standing firm against Gbagbo. This is White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs. This is how he put it this week.
That election was clear. Its result was clear. And it's time for him to go.
But Mr. Gbagbo says the international community has declared war on the Ivory Coast, and he has demanded that the United Nations leave. The UN has responded by extending its mandate there for another 6 months. We wanted to talk more about the situation there. So first, we're going to go to Associated Press reporter Marco Goun-Ovid. He's in Abidjan. Welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Michelle.
Now, I understand, though, that you, along with other foreign journalists, are on the move, that many journalists have been threatened. Is that kind of indicative of the general mood there?
Well, yes. I mean, what we've seen largely across the country is that people are afraid to wear their political allegiances on their sleeves. And even those of us who are trying to be neutral, including the UN and foreign journalists, we're being portrayed as, if we're not openly supporting Gbagbo, we're being portrayed as supporting the rebellion. It's a kind of you're either with us or against us attitude.
Now, Gbagbo last night announced that he was ready to meet with his rival Alassane Ouattara to negotiate an end to this, to the crisis. Has there been any response?
Well, this is an idea he's been floating for some time. His foreign minister, who used to be country's representative at the United Nations in New York, he's been trying sort of back channels and diplomatic channels for more than a week now to get negotiations started up. Of course, they've had two different mediators come in, one from the African Union, John Ping, another from South Africa, Thabo Mbeki, to try and negotiate a way out of this crisis. But what we're seeing here is for the first time, the United Nations is really standing firm. There is no opportunity to negotiate. The election was clear cut. Mr. Gbagbo lost the election, they say, and that there is no opportunity to negotiate any sort of power-sharing deal. I think that what we're seeing now is Bagbo's camp floating this idea because there's precedent in Kenya, in 2007, in Zimbabwe, both the leaders there, the incumbent presidents, Robert Mugabe and Mwai Kibaki, were able to stay in power, negotiate some sort of power-sharing deal after the international community widely believed that they lost these elections. So I think Bagbo's trying to and perhaps negotiate his best option, which would be some sort of power-sharing deal. But like I said, the difference between Kenya and Zimbabwe and Ivory Coast is that in Ivory Coast, this is the first time we've seen the United Nations participate from A to Z in the election. They supervised every single vote. They counted every single vote themselves. So this isn't a question of perhaps there were several irregularities. The UN has said, no, we have gone through this election vote by vote, and we're certifying Ouattara as the elected leader, and that's not a negotiable result.
I think this is a good time to bring in the United Nations, the head of the United Nations mission there. That's Mr. Y.K. Choi, and he's with us now from his office in Abidjan. Mr. Choi, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Could you just describe the atmosphere there from your perspective?
It's very tense, and until yesterday, it was very, very dangerous. But since the declaration made by President Gbagbo yesterday evening, situation become much more relaxed. This is like an on and off situation.
Is it true that the peacekeeping forces are being blockaded? Their supply lines, for example. Is that true?
Until this morning, yes. We are completely blocked. beginning late this morning, the blockade was lifted. It's open now. Our cargo trucks are entering to the hotel.
We understand that soldiers loyal to Mr. Gbagbo have already opened fire on civilians in Abidjan. What is the UN's mandate if they observe this?
We are patrolling Abidjan area in case intervene. There is a confrontation between President Gbagbo's security forces and demonstrators belonging to other camp. And it's sporadic and in many places. So there are spots where we may not be present, and there the clashes take place, and there deaths are occurring. So it's like a cat-and-mouse game. When there is a civilians in danger, absolutely we must intervene. That is part of our mandate. We have to intervene, yes.
It's our understanding that President Gbagbo has told you in no uncertain terms that he wants the United Nations to leave Ivory Coast, which means he does not acknowledge a role for the UN in this conflict. And the UN has, of course, said that he no longer has the authority to make such a determination. What is your sense of what role the UN will play going forward here? Do you know at this point?
First of all, we follow instructions from the Security Council. And Security Council, as you know, renewed our mandate for 6 more months. So we are staying here doing our job. And our main mandate is to make the will of the people prevail, as it was expressed on 28th November. And we must do it in a peaceful way. The military solution is not our option.
I understand that Mr. Ouattara has asked his supporters to make a visible demonstration of their support for him. What are you to do as they do this? Are you to protect them as they demonstrate? What is your role there?
There was what they call march plan on 16th and 17th December. That march plan was very dangerous because it was very likely to provoke violation and deaths and other casualties. So we made it very clear from the beginning that it's not an option for us to protect and march alongside with them. So we dissuaded them not to do it, and they did it, and there were casualties. And the situation is so tense, if you try to force yourself to take over the TV station or government building, there are bound to be casualties and violences. So that we cannot be agreeable.
Have the UN peacekeepers sustained any casualties to this point, to your knowledge?
Not yet, fortunately, but we were attacked by direct bullet firing, and I myself was under direct threat from RPGs 2 times, and our patrol cars followed. This is a intimidation attempt on their part, so we are in constant danger, but not yet casualties.
Do you have a sense, and I don't know whether you feel that this is beyond the scope of your authority, but do you feel that the situation there is headed for a peaceful resolution, or is it too soon to say?
Good question. It can go either way. It can go for the violence to our much regret. It can go towards the solution. It depends on President Gbagbo's camp, because they know our position. I hope they will not opt for the road for destruction and violence.
So you will not be advancing any military initiative. Your role there
not
is to keep the two sides apart and to prevent casualties.
But, you know, imagination can go very far.
YJ Choi is the head of the United Nations mission in Ivory Coast. He joined us from his office there. Mr. Choi, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, NPR. Good luck to you.
We have just a few more minutes with Associated Press reporter Marco Gown Ovid, who's also in Abidjan. So Marco, you heard Mr. Choi. What leverage does the international community really have here? As you told us earlier, Mr. Gbagbo seems to be trying to press for a negotiated solution, as has taken place in other countries in Africa. But as you pointed out, that there's no ambiguity as far as the international community is concerned about the results. So, but what are the leverage points there? Why can't he just wait it out?
Well, I think you've touched on the heart of the matter here. Never really before have we ever seen a unified voice in the international community coming out so strongly and so quickly against the results of an election. We often see horse trading and that kind of thing. But here we really have a virtually unanimous international opinion against Mr. Gbagbo.
The strategies that are currently being pursued, I think they're being pushed both by Ouattara's camp and as well by supporters on the international scene, cutting off the financial resources of Gbagbo's government. This is happening in two different ways. One, we're seeing major aid organizations, development banks, and other international monetary institutions like the World Bank, the African Development Bank, and the local ECOWAS, which is the local economic coalition of West African states. They've all cut off Ivory Coast. So Mr. Gbagbo is not receiving any development money, which is, of course, key for trying to move forward and pursue what he's been trying to do for the last few weeks, which is pretend that nothing's going on, pretend that this election is over and done with, that he's president and it's a return to normal. Of course, the last most important, perhaps, strategy being pursued is that Ivory Coast here doesn't have its own treasury. It doesn't have its own central bank like many countries do. They have a common central bank with eight other West African countries, former French colonies. This West African central bank is actually located in Senegal. Mr. Ouattara has written to the West African Central Bank and asked him to cut off all funds to Mr. Gbagbo, and this would literally mean that Gbagbo would not have a treasury. He would not be able to pay salaries. He would not be able to simply pay for the day-to-day functioning of the state.
I see. So there are pressure points there which are being applied. So thank you, Marco, and hopefully you will stay well and keep us posted. Marco Gown Ovid is a reporter with the Associated Press. He was with us on the line from Abidjan. Marco, thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle.
Coming up on a much lighter note, if you are part of a blended family or simply hosting a multicultural gathering for the holiday, you know that cooking for all those different taste buds can leave a cook in panic mode. But Top Chef Kevin Spraga says, chill out.
There's no set rules, especially nowadays. So many people are multicultural. Sit down, enjoy the food, embrace it, embrace the other cultures, and just have a good time with it.
Getting that multicultural menu right is next on Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin.